So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 10, chapter number 4, I think text number 15, text 15. The chapter, Cities of King Kansa.
Aho Bahina, Aho Bhama.
Prabhupada. Alas, my sister, alas, my brother-in-law, I am indeed so sinful that exactly like a man-eater, Rakshasa, who eats his own child, I have killed so many sons born of you. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Rakshasas are understood to be accustomed to eating their own sons, as snakes and many other animals sometimes do. At the present moment, in Kali Yuga, Rakshasa fathers and mothers are killing their own children in the womb, and some are even eating the fetus with great relish. Thus, the so-called civilization is gradually advancing by producing rakshasas. Oh, one of the atrocities of King Kans, lying and cheating. Alas, my sister, he says, alas, my brother-in-law, I am indeed so sinful that exactly like a man-eater Rakshasa who eats his own child, I have killed so many sons born of you. This is Kans, the great actor. He is trying to show off that he is actually repentant, that he has killed so many of the sons of his own sister and his brother-in-law. The word Rakshasa, of course, we had explained many, many weeks ago in the Ramayana. There was, as you remember, Lord Ram was going in the forest. But long, long before that, there was a Brahmana, great Brahmana. He married two wives. Unfortunately, one of the wives was a Rakshasi. And the other was a regular Brahman lady. So from the Brahman lady, she got a son called Kuber, who later on became the treasurer of the demigods. The stepbrother of Kuber was none other than Ravan, born of this Rakshasi woman. But this Rakshasi woman had a brother, means Ravan's mama. And Ravan was too much attached to his mama, who was a general of all the Rakshasas, a very powerful fellow. And therefore, he wanted to make his nephew a very powerful fighter, like him. The Rakshas always wants everybody like him. So, this was the root cause of Ravan, whose father was a good Brahmana, but unfortunately, he was not influenced by his father, but he was influenced by this Rakshas Mama. And this Rakshas Mama's first lesson that he taught him was, everything belongs to us. That is the first lesson he taught Ravan. Whatever you see, whatever you can grab, whatever you can usurp, must be yours. That is a great Ravan or great Rakshas principle we must follow. Who told? Mama told Ravan. So Ravan's eyes went straight onto Kuber's property and his wealth. Because he was a treasurer of the demigods. So the first thing always a man tries to do when he wants to grab is to grab the money. So he took away all Kuber's monies. Kuber didn't want to fight his stepbrother because he was like a demigod. He was a good man. He was a Asura. And the other fellow was Asura. So there was a small fight, as usual, between brothers, stepbrothers. But this was, Kuber said, you take what you want. I'm going to Lord Shiva. And he complained to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, don't worry. You stay here at our Mansarovar. And you'll get back wealth. Wealth is something you can lose. Wealth is something you can get back. It's not like reputation. Reputation is like a glass vessel. Once a glass vessel is broken, you have to throw it away. You can't drink from it. But wealth, you can get back. There have been world wars, World War II, when the whole of Japan was bombed so badly by atom bombs. Two of them, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I went there. I went to the center of the place where the bomb was thrown. But to my shock and surprise, I found it was fully, what we may say, reconstructed. Much better than even Bombay. Bombay has every day some bomb, sometime, terrorists. But these fellows had atom bomb. And still it was reconstructed beautifully. And Japan was back on its feet. Similarly, Germany was, I believe there was a city called Bremen. And it was very heavily bombed by the Allied forces. But they have reconstructed perfectly. They are strong financially. So money will come back. That's not a problem. But these rakshasas have a tendency to kill their own children in the womb. And that is happening even today. And that's why Prabhupada sarcastically writes that the so-called civilization of today is gradually advancing by producing rakshasas. In where? In the slaughterhouse education. Because no schools or colleges are allowed to teach spiritual knowledge, unfortunately, unless it is a special one where this is only taught. So I thought that we should know what is the purpose of human life. Either we'll have some purpose or we don't have a purpose. So if there is a purpose, many philosophers have wondered over so many generations and decades, and centuries, that what is the purpose of life? After all, God is not so stupid to make something without any purpose. So the purpose of our life here on this earth for human beings is only one. Ekam shastram devaki putra gitam, eko devo devaki putra eva. Eko mantrasya namaniyani karmyapekam tasya devasya seva. Adi Shankaracharya, Lord Shankar himself, says that ekam shastram, there is only one shastra. Ekam shastram devaki putra gitam. Devaki putra means Lord Krishna. Gitam means Bhagavad Gita. Eko devo devasya namani yani. There is only one holy name of the Lord, and that is the Lord Krishna's name, holy name. Karmya pekam tasya devasya seva. And there is only one seva. Now, why are we doing seva? Why should we do seva? Somebody may ask. So Prabhupada has answered beautifully. Everyone in this world is seeking for happiness. Even the smallest child, the moment it is born, he wants the mother's milk, he wants toys, he wants, goes on wanting. But in all material things, there is no terminal happiness. There is only terminal distress. Just like you have terminal disease, we have a hospice in Vrindavan, which is for the terminally ill, so that when they leave this material world, they are always thinking of Krishna, they are only listening to Krishna Katha, and they are being served by Krishna devotees, eating Krishna Prasadam, and they are living in a holy dham. The five basic principles mentioned by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These five basic principles are that you should always hear Krishna Katha and chant the holy name of the Lord, eat only prasadam, associate with devotees, isn't it? Live in a holy dham, isn't it? So in this way, you can go back home, back to Godhead. That is the purpose of life. Now, how do we fulfill this purpose? This purpose of life can be fulfilled by only one way. And that is mentioned by Lord Krishna in 4.9 Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, 9th slok. He says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tatvata taktva deham punarjanma neti mam eti so arjuna. The bottom line is, sarva dharma parityagam mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshasyami masocha. So, let us understand, Krishna says, those who understand in tattva, in reality, in substance, real knowledge, truth, those who understand his transcendental appearance, janma karma cha me divyam, divyam, transcendental. Krishna's birth is not like ours, yours or mine. So, divyam birth, okay, that's the chapter we are doing now. And divya karma. Now, we don't have time now to talk of all the 98 karmas mentioned in those chapters in the 10th canto. But we have time to take up one item which many people love to hear. But they have not got full details of this particular wonderful activity of Lord Krishna. I found it in this book called Garga Samhita. In fact, I had heard this about 20 odd years ago, and I was searching and searching for the original document so that I could understand this particular activity of Lord Krishna, which is very sweet. It is the topmost Madhurya Leela, the sweetest of the sweet activity of the Lord. And that is the marriage of Lord Krishna with Radhika. Because people are sometimes confused. There are preachers in even Vrindavan who talk of Radhika's husband being Abhimanyu. So they say, but Radhika was married to Abhimanyu. Where are you talking about Radhika's marriage to Krishna? So it is there in Garga Samhita. And who is this Abhimanyu? That's the next question. Abhimanyu is expansion of Lord Krishna in the shadow form. So, Abhimanyu is the reflection of Krishna. That is who Abhimanyu is. And why? Because Krishna loves conjugal ras the most, Madhura ras. Now, in view of that, they had to have the leelas, Radha and Krishna, but for the sake of purity, because Krishna is Om Pavitra Pavitra Vaja. He is the purest of all pure. There was a marriage actually. Now, how did this take place? So, if with your kind permission, I may read out some portions from the Garga Samhita. This is spoken, the Garga Samhita originally was spoken by Narad Muni to a king called Bahulaswa. Bahulaswa came much before Janak Raja. So, it's in that context. And Garga Muni is the one who actually wrote down what Narad Muni spoke to the king. Narad Muni. Drona was born as Nanda on the earth and Dhara was born as Yashoda. Everybody knows, right, that Yashoda was a beautiful young baby girl who anybody saw or even heard her name, got Yash. Yash means they got opulences, they got benefits. So Yashoda was such a wonderful young girl that she was the most beloved girl in the whole of Vraj Bhumi. When she grew up, she was married to Nanda Maharaj. To fulfill Brahma's words, Lord Krishna went from his father's palace to the village of Vraj. Now, Lord Brahma's words means what? It is in the Brahma Samhita. In this book, we have the first shloka of the Brahma Samhita. Actually, the Brahma Samhita, which we are reading every day, is chapter number 4, which Lord Chaitanya got in a temple in South India, Adhikesh temple in Kerala, right? But he could not get chapter 1, slok number 1. But the chapter 1, slok number 1 is in Brahma Samhita. Fortunately, we got at least one chapter, one slok of the first chapter. I'll read it out later. One day, sent by Vasudev, the great saint Gargamuni came with his disciples to Nanda Maharaj's place. Following the rules and tradition, now this is given in short in Srimad Bhagavatam. In Garga Samhita, because it's Gargamuni himself, he's giving full details. Nanda Maharaj worshipped the great sage, washing his feet and offering him many things. This is the picture here. Then he circumambulated him and offered obeisances, falling down like a stick. Sri Ananda said, "Today the pious forefathers, demigods and fire gods are all pleased with us. Our home is now purified by the dust of your feet. O great Brahmana sage, please perform my son's name-giving ceremony." Two sons. They had no names at that time. The great Brahmana sage, "Please perform my son's name-giving ceremony. O Lord, even by visiting many sacred pilgrimages, one cannot attain what is attained by your visit." Means, if you go to all Banaras and you go to all these big dharmasthans, it's the purpose of going there is to hear saintly people. Now, if the saintly person has come to your own home, then that's fine. That's much better because it saves us time going all the way there. Sri Gargamuni said, "I will perform your son's name-giving ceremony. Of this, there is no doubt. I will tell you who he was before, O Nanda. Now let's go to a secluded place." Now this is all told in the Bhagavatam, right? Now here comes the details. Sri Nanda said, Gargamuni rose and went with Nanda, Yashoda and the two boys to a secluded place in the cowshed. There he performed the name-giving ceremony. This is a very important name-giving ceremony. After worshipping the deities, headed by Ganesh, and after carefully appeasing the deities of the planets, the great saint Gargamuni, happy in every limb, spoke to Nanda. Gargamuni said, "Please hear the explanation of Rohini's son's name." So this is very important. Rohini's son's name's explanation is given by Gargamuni. "The yogis find their happiness, Ramaniti, in him." Means if you are a yogi who is doing Dhyan Yoga, then your goal, purpose is to find happiness. I told you everybody is trying for happiness. So these yogis are also trying for happiness. And they find it in his name. That is Rohini's putra, son. And the first part of his name is based on Ramaniti. Or he is the greatest enjoyer, Ramiti. Or his transcendental qualities, he delights Ramayati. So all three factors, that he provides you happiness, he provides you great enjoyment, and he gives you transcendental qualities. That is Balaram. "For these reasons, the sages know him as Ram, because he has pulled Shankarshana from the womb. He was pulled from the womb. He is also known as Shankarshana, because when the universe is annihilated, he alone remains Aveshash. The sages know him as Shesh. Because he is extremely strong Bala, they know him as Bala." And the combination of Bala and Ram is Balaram. That is the name given by Gargamuni in the cowshed to the elder of the two children. His name at once purifies the living entities. His names are the auspicious and all universal. Now comes the name of Krishna. Looking at the other child, he said, his name starts with K, and it stands for Kamala Kanta, the husband of the goddess of fortune. K stands for Kamala Kanta, husband of the goddess of fortune. Ra stands for Rama, the supreme enjoyer. S, Sir, stands for Sad Gunapati, the master of six opulences. So in his name itself is the six opulences, master of all six opulences, unlimitedly. Or Agni Bhukha, the Lord who enjoys the offerings of Agnihotra Yagnas. And the last, the letter Ha between two dots in Sanskrit, stands for Nar Narayan Rishi. So in this way, we now know how and what the meaning of the two names Balaram and Krishna are in detail. Garga Muni said, to remove the earth's burden and to kill the demons headed by Kans, the great demigod Brahma, the supreme demigod, requested Lord Krishna to appear on the surface of the earth. Sri Radhika, who is Lord Krishna's chief queen in Golok, has also appeared here in Vrindavan. You do not understand her exalted position, because Nanda Maharaj did not know that who is Krishna, who is his son. He didn't even know the name of the child. So everything was explained by an authority, that is Garga Muni. Then Narad Muni says, delighted and astonished, Vrishabhanu called Kalavati, and they both discuss what Garga Muni had said, understanding that the exalted position of Sri Radha Krishna. Now here Vrishabhanu tells Brahmana, Garga Muni, what is the name of this daughter I will give? You remember that he found, while tilling the soil, he found a small beautiful girl in a whirlpool of lotus, and that was Radhaji. Now here is the explanation. Ra stands for Rama. Rama is the goddess of fortune. Then A stands for Adi Gopika, the first and the topmost gopi. The in Radha, there's Ra, A and Dha. The stands for Dara, the earth. And again, A at the end stands for Viraja Nadi. Viraja, as you know, is the expansion of Radha. Now, where is Viraja? Just like Yamuna is also expansion of Radha. Viraja, Ganga is also expansion of Radha. Viraja is the river which is the border between the material world and the spiritual world, which we have to cross. And it is only Radha's mercy takes us across from the material world to the spiritual world. So the four potencies of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became his four wives, Leela, Bhu, Shri and Viraja. So they become his wives in the spiritual world. This is all explained by Garga Muni. Because these goddesses have now entered the form of Radha, so on this earth, these four wives of Krishna, these goddesses entered into the body of Radha. The wise say that Sri Radha is the original supreme goddess of fortune. Now what happened is that when these girls were born in those days, the parents immediately used to think in terms of who will be the husband of this boy, this girl. You see, so Vrishabhanu Prabhu immediately started asking Garga Muni that who will be the fortunate man or child or boy who will be her husband. So this was explained in great detail by Garga Muni. First of all, Vrishabhanu himself said, Garga Muni, you have yourself come, so you find the husband. And since you are the greatest of all brahmanas, you only arrange for the marriage and paraphernalia and everything right now. So Garga Muni said, no, I'm not going to do it. Brahma is destined to become the person, personality, who will arrange this marriage between Radha and Krishna. And this chapter number 16 of this particular khanda very, very beautifully explains there's a lot of details here of what Golok Vrindavan looks like, because we find nothing of this type on this earth. We think that we've got a lot of wealth on this earth, but it's nothing, kachra, compared to what I see in this chapter number 16. Even this Govardhan which we visited a few weeks ago, the original Govardhan which is there in the Golok Vrindavan is only studded with rubies, emeralds, pearls, diamonds, and all jewels. The devotees who are pure devotees, now Prabhupada has often said that every part of Govardhan is jeweled, you know. They see the original, just like in a, you have seen movies in the past, I'm sure. So you have seen a person who acts as an actor or an actress. But if you see on the screen, but the screen is only a piece of cloth really. And there is, on that cloth you have the projection from the projector. So if you like to talk to that person, if you want to have a relationship with that person on the screen, it's not possible. But in reality, that same person exists, but he exists in his home. And just like when you go to our Juhu temple, many of you come from the highway side. So on the left side is Amitabh Bachchan's house. Now he's supposed to be one of the great actors in this country. So his house is all fully surrounded by huge big gates and fences and everything. It's all made of dark black wood, dirty looking thing. You see? But that's not what Krishna's house looks like. Krishna's house is explained here, is so beautifully bedecked with Chintamani and all these beautiful jewels, which you will see. If you just follow these five principles throughout your life, till the last moment, and Antakale Narayana Smriti, you think of Krishna only at the end of your life, which is possible. And Prabhupada says that is what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to think of Krishna at the last moment of our life. Now, how are we going to do that? That is a big problem, you know. And as I was saying, we are all seeking for happiness. So there are three types of happiness, Prabhupada explains. And we should know which are the three types. Two are bad and one is good. So we should not, and they all look similar. It's like, you know, gold. Sometimes you have brass shining beautifully and people pay a big price and then they take it home and then they are told, oh, you damn fool, you paid so much money for so-called gold, it is actually brass. And the other is what is called gold-plated. Means inside it is brass only, but outside there is a thin micron layer of 5 micron or 10 micron, whatever, of gold plating. So that will wear out after a little time. And then you are back to brass. The third is pure solid 24 karat gold. Of course, nowadays you can't find that. You find mixed with other things. So that 24 is brought to 22, then 20, and 18. So standard gold is known as 18 karat gold. So 18 karat. Theek hai. But similarly, happiness is in these three forms. One is which looks like the original thing. And that is called a bhogi. A person who is a bhogi in the material world thinks he has got the happiness. Like I've known somebody and he thinks he gets happiness only in a bottle of wine. Actually, he believed so, that the highest happiness is in wine. And then he would pay a very high price for a specific year, 50 years ago or whatever it is, from that particular vineyard in that particular part of south of France, and that would be relished by all the so-called drunkards. So they would all say, ah, you really got the best wine in the world. But actually, what is the meaning? That wine would only destroy his liver, you see, by cirrhosis. So that is the nakli one. That's the hopeless one. There is no hope in that happiness. The second one is the gold-plated type of happiness, which is what most of us have got trapped into, you see. Now, the gold-plated happiness is, we have understood that brass is brass, gold is gold. But we don't want to go deep into a subject. That is the problem. We are on the superficial surface because we want to quickly get quick rich, or we want instant coffee, instant this, instant that. So instant gold. So that can be done immediately. In 5 minutes you can get gold-plated things. So that is why we don't care for time. Kalosmi. Krishna says, I am time. Sometimes it takes a long time before anything is done. For instance, diamond is made. I was in a diamond mine in South Africa, and diamond people, they told me it takes centuries and centuries of lot of pressure and lot of heat for that coal, which is black colored, to be converted into diamond. Actually, diamond is a coal. It's carbon, pure carbon. That's C14. And it is just converted because of the pressure and temperature. Similarly, a pure devotee is like all of us coals, but he is converted under pressure and temperature of the guru. What the guru does, guru is known as heavy. You know that? One of the meaning of the word guru is heavy. So because of the pressure, heavy means under pressure. So these devotees are slowly, slowly changed from coal to diamonds. And if you associate with whom you associate with, you are like that. Man is known by the company he keeps. So if you move from level 2 to level 3 means pure devotees of the Lord. They are the ones who have the happiness and who can give you happiness. The ones who are cheaters, are born cheaters or are made cheaters, and they'll give you cheating products, you see. So if you really want the pure thing, you have to go to the pure person. Just like if you want pure milk. I mean, you know, it was well known in Bombay that bhaiyas used to mix what? Huh? What they were mixing? Water and milk? No, they were mixing milk and water. They were smarter than us, you see. They would take larger amount of water, small quantity of milk. And then they would add some chemicals to it, unfortunately, which would make it look as if it is thick. And the worst part is they would add blotting paper to make it and churn it so that it looked like cream. You see? So this is how they used to do it. I'm not saying all bhaiyas are bad. I'm only saying that's what they used to do. So those cheaters who want to cheat, they are super smart in cheating. So best thing is to go to a pure devotee of the Lord. That is what this whole Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. Because right in the beginning, what is that shlok? Right in the beginning, first shlok, Janmadasya tun vayadi tartha, sartheswa vignaswarat, tene brahmarada idakyavaye, muyamti yatsuraya, tejo var imrudam yatha milimayo, yatra trisagro musha, damna svena sadani rasta kuakam, satyam param dhimahi. So, Satyam Param is, Dhimahi is Lord Krishna Himself. Dharma projita kaitravotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastava matra vastra shivadam tapatra yo mulanam srimada bhagavate mahamunim krute kimva pare ishvara sadyo rudya varudya tetarudbir shushushudbhivi satyama. So, it is pure nectar, Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no milk water mixture or blotting paper mixture inside. You see, the other things which you can get have got some element of mixture in it. I'll give you an example. Mahabharata was written just before Srimad Bhagavatam by the same Vedvyasji. And after writing this Mahabharata, Vedvyasji became very, very unhappy. Can you imagine? A person has written, now I'm just trying to remember, Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 shlokas and Mahabharata is what, Prabhuji, 100,000? 100,000 shlokas. Means it's more than 5 times. So, or really around that. So, after writing so many beautiful shlokas according to us, so much trouble he took to work so hard, and he was unhappy. Why? Because he never explained this particular 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He never explained what he himself wrote, Janma Karma Che Medivyam. He wrote that because Bhagavad Gita is a central portion of the whole of Mahabharata. It's halfway. Having understood everything, still Vedvyasji had not written about the pure transcendental activities of the Lord. Now coming back to the marriage of Lord. In the marriage of the Lord, what happened was, Brahmaji came. Brahmaji arranged all beautiful paraphernalia. It's all mentioned there. And what we see in our marriages in India today, recently there was a marriage of one of our god brother's daughter, for instance. And we really saw the opulence and everything shown there. However, the fact is, if you read this, you will faint. I guarantee anybody, if you read this chapter 16 of this Brahma Samhita, you will faint. The amount of paraphernalia, the amount of beauty that is there in the marriage of Krishna and Radharani, it is unimaginable, inconceivable. But what is happening is that people are trying to reproduce this. Copy. What I'm talking about is the copying business, you know. So that they feel that we are very happy. But actually, we should, the person who's getting married, the two, the young man and the young lady, should only read this chapter 16 and have a brahmana like one of our people and marry there in a simple way. Because if you satisfy Krishna, if you satisfy Radharani, and how are they satisfied? Very simple. Just by listening. I was told a few days ago by a doctor, a very senior doctor, that the first sense out of our many senses, eyes we see, ears we hear, tongue we taste or speak, skin we touch, the first sense that starts in the womb of the mother, of that little child, is the hearing. Hearing is the first. That is why Prahlad Maharaj heard the whole Bhagavatam, such a long Bhagavatam, because the sense developed first, the hearing. And the last sense which closes down, shuts down, when the man dies, my own father-in-law expired, so at Chitrakoot, and I was told that the last thing that the devotees saw, none of his relatives were there, but devotees told me, was he heard the last shloka of their portion of Ramayana and he left the body. You see? So, by listening, that's why it is the maximum range you get, time range you get, is listening. That's why Shruti is the most important thing. In the Vedic Shastras, they say that the Vedas are the mother, right? And who's the father? Sarva Bhuteshu Am Braj Bid Pita, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. I am the seed-giving father. So really speaking, the mother is the Vedas. She gives the knowledge. That is your father. Because otherwise a child will never know who is the father. If he tries to experiment or if he tries to speculate, it will all be ruined. But one simple question if you ask the mother, that, mommy, who is my papa? Then she'll say, this is your papa. That's it, finish. That's final. There is no second doubt about it. Similarly, if we just read Bhagavatam, you know who is Krishna. And once you know who is Krishna and all his activities and his divine appearance, there is no choice. You have to go home back to Godhead. Which is the best thing. Because it's like you have bought the ticket, you got into whatever Jet Airways for going to Calcutta. Then you can't, once they close the plane door and the jet starts, and the pilot has taken off, then you say, no, I don't want to go to Calcutta. I want to go to Madras or I want to go to Delhi. Impossible. You're on. So the fact is your door is now closed. You should know this. This is the beauty of it. The fact is those doors are closed there. Ye aeroplane hai. Hum log baith gaye andar. We have sat in the aeroplane. The doors are closed now. And we are going home back to Godhead, all of us. Just because we are listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Just because we are praying to Krishna. Just because we are listening to the activities of Lord Krishna. It's made so simple in this Kaliyuga. Kaliyuga is the worst period of all the four yugas. But there is one greatness of Kaliyuga. And that is, there's an easiest way, cheapest way. They're talking about this Air Asia and all these low-cost airline, no, Indigo and all go air. Cheap airlines. Jet Airways is costing me 10,000 rupees. This is costing me 2,000 rupees. It's a cheap ticket. But this is cheapest ticket. Those airlines have no competition. They can't compete us. You see, simply by listening, we go home back to Godhead. You cannot have a better deal than that. And that is why all the demigods want to come on this earth and listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because they don't have books in the heavenly planets. That's the problem. Many of us have come from there, so we know. But the fact is, I'm sure there are some in this room, demigods. But the fact is that there is no reading of Bhagavatam there. That is a problem. Even before in this India, Bhagavatam was written by hand, you know. And it was very difficult. Because sometimes the devotees would be so much emotionally moved that they would cry. Gadadhar Pandit would cry. After all, Gadadhar Pandit was Radharani himself, but that's why. So he would cry and all the ink would get smudged. So they would have to rewrite the whole thing. Isn't it right? It's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I have to always ask my Shiksha Guru. After all, both Gaurang Prabhu, Govind Prabhu, behind him is another great devotee. They all are wonderful, worshipable devotees. And associating with devotees in this world is so nice, because in the cheap airlines going from Bombay to Calcutta, I told you, there is no devotee there. The air hostesses, which is the wrong thing. You see? That's absolutely the diversion, madness. So, here at least in this airline, now just imagine we are in an airship going back home, back to Godhead. That's exactly what it is. Prabhupada says that. And we must believe that. It's a fact that this temple is none other than Vaikunth Dham. Now, Vaikunth Dham is like a part of the way to Golok Vrindavan. At least we have crossed from the material world via the Viraja River to Vaikunth Dham. Because there is Krishna, there is Radhaji here, there is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everybody is here. Nityanand Prabhu is there. You see? And our relationship, we don't want to speculate. We could be in Shantaras. Today only morning I was thinking that what is the use of going in Shantaras? But there is a use of it. Because in Shantaras you can do maximum quiet seva. Because some people, some devotees, like to not talk too much. They want to be Shant. Shant means no talking, speechless. So they become grass, they become trees, they become fruits. But they are serving Krishna. You see? There are some devotees who like, you will find everywhere. If you ask that devotee, please come and speak to us or chant or sing some song or some bhajan, you will say, no, I mera gala bahut kharab hai. I can't speak. So that is Shantaras. You see? But you tell him to clean this temple, he'll be very happy. So there is Shantaras. Then there is Dasaras. Dasaras devotees are those devotees who are prepared to do anything for another devotee. Because Krishna is there, of course. You can do there also. But not everybody is Brahmin initiated and all that. So they are very happy to clean the clothes of other devotees. Dasaras. You see? Then there is Sakyaras. That's the best ras, I tell you. Sakyaras. Because you really enjoy yourself. Because then you are playful, you are enjoying with everyone. Then Vatsalyaras, there's responsibilities. Sakyaras, there is no responsibility. In Vatsalyaras, there is responsibility. A teacher is like a Vatsalyaras, actually. She's like a mother, you see, a teacher. So, responsibility starts. But in the final conjugal ras, which you will find a lot of details here in this Garga Samhita, you will find there is a lot of anxiety. I was surprised that in Madhurya ras there is a lot of anxiety. In Sakya ras there is not too much anxiety. And then in Vatsalya ras anxiety increases. But in Madhurya ras there is extreme anxiety. We were there in Barsana. And there is a Man Mandir, You know Man Mandir? Everybody has been to Man Mandir? Mangad, exactly, Man Mandir. Why? There is Rajaji got angry with Krishna. Man ho gaya usko. And Krishna had to become like a peacock dancing. Now, I mean, you know, so for me it's a degradation to start dancing like a peacock. But the fact is Krishna is willing to do anything. He's prepared to do anything for Radhaji, for a devotee. She's a supreme devotee. Even dance like a peacock, you see, just to please her, just to make her laugh. So that is the relationship between the pure devotees. Now you can't see in a Go Air or Indigo airline somebody dancing like a peacock. I mean, you know, this is unthought of. They'll say he's mad. So as soon as he lands, he'll be taken away by the police. So, but in the spiritual sky, spiritual world, you find this. Relationships are so thick, so wonderful, so pure and nectarian. And all these are explained in Srimad Bhagavatam and the supporting documents. I think it's now 9:30. Are there any questions? We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments, please? Yes. My great friend, Mahaprabhuji. Ha, main deta hun. Mic aata hai.
Hari bol.
Hari bol.
Guruji wonderfully explained a wonderful class about the Radha's in Garg Samhita. You have mentioned about Radharani's marriage, and previously you have also mentioned something about the Avamanyu, you know.
Yes, the shadow of Krishna.
So, how to connect or convince people from where we get the idea of Avamanyu's marriage and the marriage of Krishna and Garga, means Radharani in Garg Samhita.
Very nice. I'll give you, an example I can give you. You all know that in Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, first slok, there's a Viveshwan. The word Viveshwan comes. Viveshwan is who? Sun. The ruler of the sun or sun god they call, but small g. So, Viveshwan has a wife. Okay. And her name is Usha. One of her name is Usha. Okay. Now, this Usha has twins called Yamunaji and Yamraj. They're twin, brother, sister. Okay. But Usha is such a powerful lady that her own shadow is called Chaya. And this Chaya, this lady also gets a son from the same fellow. Just imagine. And his name is Shani. Then we know this Shani, no, he's a friend of mine. Because he's a friend of Hanuman. And he was actually tied up by Ravan in his bottom of his throne seat. Because Shani can cause a lot of problems. 7 years, 7 saal ka Shani dasha, you know. Lohe ke paon, iske paon, uske paon, whatever. So, this Shani is the child of Usha and Viveshwan. You understood, Mahaprabhuji? So, when the marriage takes place of our Krishna with Radhaji, the shadow automatically gets married. Right there. Just like when you entered this room, your shadow also entered. Now what should I say? When you entered and when your shadow entered, arre baba, saath mein hi hota hai. Shadow comes along at the same time. So actually, the materialistic, what is that name? Kutila, no? And what is that other one? Jay? Huh? Jatila. Yeah. They are more materialistically inclined, so they see the shadow part. Just try to understand. The personality, supreme personality of Godhead is only one. That is Krishna. There is no other. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha, Anadi Radhir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. So he is a Karan of that shadow also. So at the same time, Radhaji's shadow also marries Krishna's shadow. Just try to understand that. It is so powerful. Just like Usha's shadow was Chaya, and Chaya could produce a child also. I mean, it's unimaginable. To me, inconceivable that a shadow can produce a child. But anyway, we'll take it for granted at the moment. Because Shani still exists. Its effect comes, not to all of us. So we know he's there. And also, it is Hanumanji who released Shani from Ravan's, binding. So we are supposed to get released. So, but instead of going for the shadow thing, just as we explained about happiness, that brass and gold-plated, we should go for the real thing, real Krishna only, none other. So that is how it is explained in this Garga Samhita, that Abhimanyu was the shadow of Krishna, and automatically the shadow also, but materialistic people who had, even at the time when Krishna was personally present, there were materialistic people. Of course, there was Kans, his own mama, the worst of the lot. And so many of Kans's friends were there also. But they didn't recognize Krishna. Duryodhan, he didn't recognize Krishna. Krishna shows his universal form. Actually, Krishna is so kind, he shows his universal form first to Duryodhan, not to Arjun. Arjun he shows much later. See, when the war starts, is about to start, he shows the universal form. But this Duryodhan saw Krishna's universal form in his own palace, and yet he did not recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So stupid. So stupid. I mean, the height of stupidity. And then he says, I won't give a land that is at the tip of a top of the needle, also pin or whatever. Crazy fellow. He lost everything, and his thigh was broken by Bhima, no? Because he did something mischievous. So, is that answering your question? Because I can't answer fully. You have to read this book. This is 619 pages. So. You are a lawyer, so you are used to reading books. Hundreds of pages you read, I know that. But instead of reading law books, we should be of no use in Golok Vrindavan. So, Hare Krishna, might as well read these. Prabhupada says, mine will be the law books for 10,000 years. So, suru kar do, lawyer. Hare Krishna. Any other lawyers here? We have, here he is, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Hare Krishna Prabhu. All lawyers must read Prabhupada's books only. What is the use of reading law books which are no use in Golok Vrindavan? Waste of time. Waste of time. Any other questions or comments? Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. We hear like there are four sampradayas, and we are following here that Madhya Gaudiya Prasampradaya. And other sampradayas, is rather than ISKCON, Sri Sampradaya or Rudra Sampradaya, Kumar Sampradaya. So is there any ashramas other mantras which is still exist in India, and it is people are following on that? I just wanted to know about that.
First of all, the meaning of the word sampra and daya. Have you understood the meaning of the word sampradaya? You're using a word, so you should understand what it means. Sampradaya means a school where you learn spiritual wealth actually. This is all wealth. Knowledge is wealth actually. So, an official, like a university, recognized university. So, these four sampradayas are recognized. However, the Sri Sampradaya, the first one is the Brahma Sampradaya, of which we are part. Okay? So, in the first one, Brahma Sampradaya, Lord Brahma himself is teaching Narad Muni, his mind child. Narad Muni is born from the mind of Brahma. He's teaching him in Kali Santara Upanishad. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That is the Mahamantra. Brahma tells Narad Muni. And that is in the Brahma Sampradaya. It is Lord Chaitanya in our this Gaudiya Sampradaya. Because of some objection by some smartha brahmanas in what is called near Mayapur, apna Krishnanagar district, they had objected that why, how you can teach this brahmana, only brahmanas should know these slokas. Theek hai, for everybody else, I'm changing it to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya is the Ishta Deva Brahma. So the boss can change the something written by a junior. You understood? In an office, supposing there's a circular brought out by a general manager, but the managing director can overrule it. You see? He can say, no, no, change this to this, change that to that. You understood? So basically there's Brahma Sampradaya. Lord Brahma teaches Narad. And then Narad teaches Vyas. Vyas, Madhvacharya personally went all the way in Uttar Kashi. Uttar Badri, not Sarkashi, Uttar Badri. And there he learnt this, you see. And that's how the Madhvacharya Sampradaya starts. Now, Madhvacharya also had some disciples who went to East India. And they formed the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So it's like a branch, like a big tree, there's a trunk. The root is Krishna. There's no change in that. All right? But there's a trunk. And then there are big, big branches. All right? So like, ours is the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. Now we come to Sri Sampradaya. The next one is Sitaji herself is teaching Hanuman. And I went because my wife, her name is Maithili, means Sita. She wanted very badly to go to see where Sitaji taught Hanuman. Arre bapre. So I said, all right. If Krishna can dance like Maine bola, chalo, let me also satisfy my wife. It's, she said, I must see where Sita was taught. So she took me all the way to what is called Ashokavati. Now, Ashokavati, you know, in Ramayana, you heard of that, but you've not seen it. The real Ashokavati is a terrible place, difficult place to go. It's a vertical mountain, only a monkey can climb up. Then Ravan thought nobody can climb up, but he failed to understand that a monkey will come. So, there is a temple of Sri Sampradaya, very, very famous temple of theirs, where Sitaji's deity is a bigger one and Ram is smaller. And Lakshman is even smaller. And Hanumanji is not at Ram's feet, Hanumanji is at Sita's feet. Okay, that's Sri Sampradaya. Now, Sri Sampradaya, there naturally Sita is teaching Hanuman, like Brahma is teaching Narad. The basics. Ramaniti Ramaha, that is the like the Mahamantra. Ramaniti Ramaha means Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ram will give you everything. So Ram is the Ishtadev of Sita. So Hanuman's Ishtadev became Ram. Is that clear now? Again, in that there were branches. So one branch of that big tree where Ram is the root, my father was initiated in that. In that Sri Sampradaya. But that is a branch of it, which came to Maharashtra and Gujarat. Okay? And by that time, they were praying to Ram and like we are here having here, no? On the altar. So, altar, you know the meaning of the word altar? No. English word altar. It alters your mind. And it alters your brain also. Altar means change. Why we are praying at the altar? To change our mind. And why mantra? Again to change our mind. Mantra. Man is mind and tra is to swim across. It's a little diversion. So, the Sri Sampradaya had a branch which came to Maharashtra and Gujarat. So there they have Dattatre, that is Vishnu, Lord Vishnu in Maharashtra. So my father's guru was a Maharashtrian. What to do? So the Tatre and Lord Ram thing came. But he recognized Prabhupada as a Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava. Clear? Then the next one is Kumar Sampradaya. The four Kumars. Sanat, Sanatan, Sanada, Sanata. Four Kumars. Who are they? They're the mind child of Brahma, like Naradis. Okay? They are brothers actually, cousins. Not brothers, they're real brothers. So this Kumar Sampradaya, Gaurang Prabhu, where are you running off? I want to ask you a question. Kumar Sampradaya ka jo primary guru, Vishnu Swami is of this one, no? Nimbaka Acharya. Because it's South Indian, no? South Indians, no South Indians. Nimbaka Acharya is also from South India, from his place. So, he's like Nimbaka Acharya himself. So, Nimbaka Acharya is the main Acharya there, like Madhvacharya is for us. You understood? So, they are having that, but theirs is more on Radhaji and service to Radharani. Okay, that is their principle. So, actually, Lord Chaitanya, he's the Supreme Personality to Godhead. So, he took two from each of these four. From the Sri Sampradaya, he took two principles. From Madhvacharya Sampradaya, he took two principles. From Nimbakar Sampradaya, he took two principles. And from the Shiva Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, he took two principles. Okay. Now the Rudra Sampradaya, Sri Lord Shiva, is his Ishta Dev is Ram. Okay. So he is doing Jap, no? Lord Shiva is doing Jap. So he's doing Jap of whom? Which Nam? It's of Lord Ram. That is why it is called Rameshwar in South India when you go there, no? Tip of India. There is Ram, is Ishwar. Okay. And there is Lord Shiva. Actually, there is a very fine story that they wanted to build a Shivling, but there was no stone around. There was nothing around. So they made the Shivling out of sand. Can you imagine? Correct? And that Shivling still stands even today. So all these Shiva Valas go there. Means those who are Vaishnavas from that Shiv Sampradaya. They are very often going there. Is this clear to you or not clear?
But my point was, this is all explained in the backside where it is about all Sampradayas. But my question, I wanted to know that like in Brahma Madhya Gaudiya Sampradaya, this stone is now spread all over in the world. And any other Sampradaya which is existing, they have formed branches or centers.
Oh, yeah, of course. There are many, many copycats of ISKCON. Ho to hota hi hai. There are many copycats of ISKCON. Because Prabhupada was very successful, some other people have tried the same thing. So whether you want copycat or you want the original, which you want? Actually, there is a fact. There are people, I know, that sometimes they try to come. One fellow came downstairs here also, in our own temple downstairs. And I think, where is Mahaprabhuji? Aap the na mere saath? We have to drive him away. Because he wanted to take devotees from here. What to do now? Yeah, then Mahaprabhuji? It must be about 20 years ago. We had a copycat fellow come here. And he was trying to recruit these poor devotees. Brahmacharis. They wanted Brahmacharis. Aap the kya wahan us time? Nahi tha. Fortunately. Okay, so there are. But why we should worry about these things? Just worry about going home back to Godhead. Don't worry about these things. Don't waste your time. Don't waste a second, actually. Just read, keep chanting, follow the four regulative principles, and read Prabhupada's books, associate with devotees, eat lots of prasad. It's good for you. Live in a holy dham. Make your own bedroom ke niche bhi aap bana sakte hain. Where the head side, not the foot side. If you don't have place in your room, in Bombay there is hardly any room. So you can make a small temple in your bedroom. Think of Krishna, sleep with Krishna, sleep with the thoughts. People, devotees, sometimes they are talking in the dreams, no? They're sleeping and talking, I have heard. They're chanting also when they're sleeping. Or they're sleeping when they're chanting, I don't know. But when they get up so early in the morning, half the time they're sleepy. Hare Krishna. But they are pure devotees. They are nice devotees. Their sleep is not like our sleep. Our sleeps are in Maya. Their sleep is in Yoga Maya. Okay, any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.